Latest from around the league here all year long.
WCGC Atlanta and WCGC HD1. Always live and free on the Odyssey app.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show. Final hour of the program is the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuck Rose gets first request. It's Patty Austin's birthday today. This was her. This was a big number one hit with James Ingram. This was. This was featured on General Hospital, right? This was featured. This was. Featured on General Hospital.
As like a regular song or just in a particular episode?
In a particular storyline or something like
that. Oh wow! Okay, cool.
I'm trying to remember if it
was like Luke and Laura.
That's what I was thinking. I think it's Luke and Laura. I know Herb Alpert's Rise was about Luke and Laura, but I don't remember if this was about as well. But I think this was featured on General Hospital.
Okay.
So
look
big
at
number
us.
One
two,
hit.
Two dudes knowing about Luke and Laura.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Listen, I used to watch Days of Our Lives and
All My Children.
Yeah, General Hospital.
Young and the Restless.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, again, you know, we can do all that stuff. So 404-726-0929. We're gonna take your phone calls this segment. Get your thoughts. How confident are you in the Braves pitching staff as we stand here right now? Starting staff. Not worried about their bullpen. I think their bullpen is still solid enough. I want their starting staff because here's the thing right now. And by the way, so let's just tease since we only got an hour to go. It was confirmed with me today that we'll have Britt Baker on Monday night from AEW. So we'll talk to her. I've been trying to get her on the show, so we finally landed her, and we'll talk to her on Monday. For the wrestling folks that are out there. But, you know, Bryce Elder is working himself out of a spot in the starting rotation of the playoffs, or at least he's getting himself further down the list. Look, if Morton, Strider, Fried are the top three starters right now, and if Michael Soroka can get called back up and again, why he's not pitching over Yanni Chirinos, I have no idea. But if Soroka could come up and figure some things out, and he's got experience, you know, we saw him a few years ago in the playoffs. Elder's working himself out of a spot, and I would not have thought that at the beginning of the year. I would have not have thought that at the beginning of the season, and especially for the first couple of months of the year when he was such a good pitcher. But, you know, he's been rocked around, and his last 12 starts that he's made, it's been rough going for Elder. And that's, look, I'm not mad at Elder. I mean, he's a rookie by and large. He only pitched, 54 innings last year, and he did some really good things, had some key moments for this club down the stretch. But he's kind of working himself out of a rotational spot as far as in the playoffs. He's not going to get sent down to the minors or anything like that, but he's working himself out of a spot. And, you know, obviously Strider's had his hiccups here over the last month or so, but obviously, you know, I still think he's the leader in the clubhouse for the Cy Young. And if for no other reason, I don't think there's a lot of great candidates. I think Zach Gallen is number two, and I think Strider's got the edge on him. Strikeouts and wins and just being a more dominant pitcher and certainly a more named pitcher. But Gallen did start in the All-Star game. But and, you know, Bob Nightingale brought up the idea of Clayton Kershaw. Maybe. I mean, Kershaw's got some work to do, but I still think Strider's the leader for right now in the clubhouse. But he's working himself out of that spot just because of his ERA. When his ERA is getting all jacked up, I mean, it's, you know, and guys are homering off of him on a regular basis. You know, you don't tend to fall in line for the Cy Young Award. So, you know, Max Fried is obviously, look, Max Fried had one of the better starts in the, you know, for the club this year. And then God bopped around a little bit the other night, last night, or whatever it was. You know, he gave up some runs to the Pirates and all that and couldn't factor into the decision when all was said and done. So I'm not concerned about the pitching staff, and I'm certainly not concerned about the division. This is not about, you know, oh my gosh, we got to have all these guys down the stretch because we got to try to win the division. No, it's not a matter of that. I'm not concerned about that. The division's been over, and the division's a disgrace. But I am concerned about when we get into playoff baseball and facing some of the teams that we're going to face and some of the lineups that we're going to see, I am concerned about our starting staff in the playoffs. You're not going to play the Pirates and the Reds and the Mutts, you know, and the Padres right now. You know, the Padres are talented, but you're not going to play those teams in the playoffs. You're not going to play all those bad teams, especially the Mutts and the, you know, Nationals. You're not going to play those teams in the playoffs. And you're going to have to find some start. Look, Ian Anderson was big a couple of years ago when the Braves won the World Series. He was arguably their best pitcher in the playoffs, and he came up big time for the Braves. They need one of these guys to step up big time, whether that's Morton or Freed or Strider or whoever. They need one of those guys to step up and give them some action. The way that, you know, again, we look, here's the thing. This team is way too talented to not be a World Series team. And I know, Leo, anything can happen in a short series and all these good kinds of things, but they are way, way, way too talented to not finish, at least get to the World Series. You get to the World Series and you've had hot playoff teams, anything can happen. You know, you get the Rangers or the Tampa Bay Rays, anything can happen. But this team is way too talented to not find itself in the World Series. And I will say, look, if they're not in the World Series, then it's a disappointment. Well, you know, they have to go through the Dodgers and all this, that, and the other. Okay, I don't care. They went through the Dodgers a couple years ago. They've slayed that dragon. Not like the Dodgers are invincible. But the Braves should be in the World Series. Braves need to be in the World Series for this to start with. Okay, was it a success or not success? Starting with the World Series is the cutoff line for success or failure for the Braves. And look, that's the expectation, right? We talk about this with the Falcons and the Hawks and things like that. At some point, expectation has to meet up with everything. And I'm concerned about just the idea of, can our starting pitching get us into the World Series? If Max Fried's right, if Morton, you know, becomes that veteran and he just kind of, you know, sets the tone and Strider goes in there and he starts striking everybody out, again, we absolutely can. Absolutely can. You know, if Elder gets back to what we saw in the first couple of 3 months of the season versus what we've seen in the last 2-3 months of the season, absolutely. Absolutely. And with this lineup, again, we talk about the Braves only won 2 out of 4 games against the Pirates, but they still scored 25 runs. They averaged 6.25 runs per game, and they didn't score 14 runs in one victory, and then it was 1-1-2 in the other 3 games.
No, they're right at the top. At the top as far as offensive production. I think they're 4th right now in hitting, maybe. I think it's 4th. Could be 3rd.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the best home run teams. Yeah. I mean, every metric that you look at has the Braves at one of the top
at
teams.
At the top, yeah.
Yeah, in Major League Baseball. But they also have the highest starting ERA in Major League Baseball since the All-Star break.
Yeah. Ironically, though, they're like number they're towards the, well, not bottom, but they're like 10th from the bottom as far as runs allowed, ironically. But just the problem is of lately, they've been giving up a lot of runs.
They've if you look at their staff over about the last month or so, they've had way too many big innings against them.
Yeah.
You know, 4 runs, 5 runs, 5 runs, 3 runs, 4 runs. Like, there's been too many of those kinds of big innings.
Right.
You know, again, a run here and then a run here. You know, like death by a thousand cuts is one thing, but the Braves have had a lot of 3, 4, 5, 6 inning, you know, runs innings allowed, you know, against some of these teams. And by the way, you know, the not like the Pirates or any great shakes or anything like that.
With this series, that was my concern, that it was that many runs against the Pirates. They're like 10 games below 500.
Yeah, they stink. I mean, again, the Pirates stink. They've got some good young talent, but they stink.
Yeah.
And that's why I say this series is going to be important for the Braves, not because it's going to decide the division or anything like that, and not because the Mutts could all of a sudden rise up. I mean, I don't even know if the Mutts – I don't even know if there's as many games to play as what the Mutts are behind right now. They just suck, and that's good. I mean, I'm glad for it. But at the same time, you need to beat up on these bad teams. You need to beat up on some of these bad teams and just take it to them and, you know, again, get healthy, right? I mean, and I'm not saying from a physical standpoint. I'm talking about get healthy, get right, get mentally right, and get this thing back on track. We don't look like the best team in baseball anymore. We don't look like the best team in Major League Baseball by a whole bunch. Offense is still clicking. Matt Olson's going to have a monster year. Ronnie's going to be the MVP of the league. Michael Harris is back on track. He's the guy that we saw last year. Ozuna's had a nice bounce back year. Eddie Rosario's had a nice year this year. Like, everybody's contributing in some form or fashion. We've talked about, you know, how good the bottom of the order has been. But you can't allow – I mean, it's great to score 6.25 runs per game, but if you give up 7 runs, it doesn't really matter. Your starting staff's giving up 7, doesn't really matter. And that's the problem has been is just the starting pitching and just some consistency. For a, you know, for a franchise that has had the hallmark of starting pitching, it's been just frustrating. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not super concerned, and we got a ways to go yet. I mean, you know, playoff baseball isn't here for, I don't know, what, another handful of weeks or whatever like that, or month or two, you know, before we get into playoff baseball. But it is frustrating because this team should be better. Think about the fact that with all of the injuries that the Braves had, how well that they actually pitched, and especially with a lot of these guys. You know, it seems like as the Braves have gotten healthier and they've gotten more guys back, it seems like our pitching has gone by the wayside. Seems like we were better off when it was bullpen games and this rookie here and that rookie there, and we had our 3 solid guys in the middle, and we rolled. Feels like as that has gone away, we're getting worse right now. This team's getting worse as far as pitching goes. So, again, it's no time to panic. The division is still in hand. For all the flaws and warts that the Braves have, still 10 games up in the division because of all the work that they've done. And their offense is still outstanding. And their offense is, you know, historically, you know, maybe one of the best offenses in Atlanta Braves history. Maybe the best offense in Atlanta Braves history. I mean, again, you can debate that. I'll still take the 03 team. I still think the 2003 team is the best. But, you know, it's been frustrating to see this team give up as many runs as what they have, and have as many big innings against them as what they've had. And look, I know there's a number out there that talks about how many innings with 3 or more runs that the Braves have given up here, you know, of late. It's a lot. It's a lot. Even look at you know, the games. I mean, just, you know, when you look at the game today. Let me get to the box score here real quick, but just too many times that they give up these big runs. You know, they had 3, you know, they gave up 3 in the 3rd inning today. And then they give up multiple runs in the 6th and the 7th inning. You know, can't be like that, especially against the good teams, right? The Pirates stink. But do that against the good teams and you find yourself in all kinds of trouble. All right, when we get back, it'll be time for That's Life. We'll get to our top 10, plus a couple of fun auctions and not going to be a third movie in a series. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 97 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at it. Chuckery Show, 921, live in the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. You know, Day-Day, I always love to look at some of these auctions and stuff that that are out there right now.
What you got?
A 1951 Bowman baseball, uncut sheet. So basically, cards come in, like, cards are on cardboard, right?
Right.
Okay? And they come in these big sheets, and then they get cut from there, okay? So this is a sheet, uncut, from 1951 Bowman, which, by the way, is Mantle and Aaron. It's only currently bidding at $5,250 now, $5,250. But they expect that number to go, I was reading on Heritage, they expect that number to go up drastically. Think about that, an uncut sheet of 1951 Bowman cards that was never cut by the Bowman Company, which is Tops and everything like that. How about this? A box of 1960 Tops cello packs. So what, you know what a cello pack is?
Okay. No.
Instead of like the traditional like wrapper on a pack of cards,
right?
The cello is a clear plastic, so you can see the top and the bottom card.
Okay.
A 1960 box, Topps baseball box of cello packs, 36 packs in the box, and the box is closed, so you don't know what's in the box.
Right.
$62,500 is the current bid on that. $62,500.
Wow. Man.
There's just some fun things that are on here right now. A gold medal from the 1920, Walter Hagen's 1926 PGA Championship gold medal, $16,000. They think that thing is going to, I mean, it's expected to get between $20,000 and $30,000 when all is said and done. But think about that, a gold medal from Walter Hagen, one of the great golfers of all time. That, again, it's from 1926.
I was going to say that year.
Yeah. Even right now, a 2021 Jalen Hurts game-worn jersey. Okay? When they played the Kansas City Chiefs in October, on October 3rd against the Chiefs, $10,000 for a game-used jersey. How about that? Crazy. Now, and this one too. Let me see if I can get the number here. This is a bit of load. Come on now. This is a 1958 Mickey Mantle jersey. A 1958 Mickey Mantle jersey. And I'm trying to see what it's trying to see if I can get the actual number up here to load, man. Come on. Yeah, I can't get the thing to load out there. But it's a 1958 game-worn jersey from Mickey Mantle. I don't know how much this thing is worth, but it's got to be worth a fortune.
It's got to be.
Yeah, it's got to be worth. Here we go. It only lists for $3,500 right now.
And it could be because it's just, if it's just a random, like, I guarantee you, if it was like the first jersey he ever wore, or,
well,
you know.
It's a game worn jersey from 1958. But I'm surprised that thing's only about $3,500.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of reason.
And it's still about a week to 10 days away from the auction ending on it. But anyway, and it's got, by the way, it's got Mantle's signature sewed into. So like they would like sew a, like they would do like a string sewing of a guy's autograph,
right?
To signify that it's his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They have his signature signed into the jersey on the inside of the jersey.
Okay.
So there's some cool things, cool random things that I've come across out there. Did you see where they have scrapped plans for Wonder Woman 3?
Yeah, I was reading about that the other day, actually, a couple of days ago.
Yeah, so, you know, again, the first movie, I guess, was pretty good. I saw bits and pieces of it, but
yeah.
The second movie, I guess, was dreadful.
Yeah, the second one wasn't good.
1984,
at all.
I think it was
Wonder Woman
called.
1984.
And it's, again, I think she battled Cheetah.
Yeah, in that one, yes.
Yeah. But now it seems like there's no plans to have a Wonder Woman 3. So, again.
I'm not upset.
No, I'm not either, but. Think about, and I was reading this article about the Marvel movies and how Marvel has really lost its cachet. Like, the Guardians of the Galaxy movie was well-received, and what was the other Marvel movie? Oh, the Black Panther movie was, you know, the second
the sequel,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all well-received. But if you look at the box offices of Marvel, they have really struggled. And part of it is they say that there's just too much content. Like, there's too much. It's Disney. It's the movies. It's cartoons and everything else. Like, there's too much Marvel property right now. And they say that the franchise is as cold as it's ever been right now. So, again, we get so much, you know, we go from 0 to 500 on all these movies, and we shove them down our throat, whether they're good movies or not. Like that Ant-Man movie or whatever.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed all of them, honestly.
But you're a mark for.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
I mean, that's
yeah.
what it is. You're a mark for.
Yeah,
all that.
They've lost the casual fans.
Right.
They've lost the casual fans.
I don't even know if they make as good. I mean, listen. The Captain America movies were fantastic.
Yeah, those were great.
I mean,
those were great. All
of the Captain America movies were. In fact, I think the worst one was the first one. I think Winter Soldier and Civil War. Like,
yeah.
Civil War is just off the chart.
Yeah.
But those movies got progressively better.
Yeah.
And even Iron Man. I think the second Iron Man is really good. Third one wasn't so good, but his character was so good by the time Endgame and all that kind of and what was the one before Endgame?
Infinity War.
I mean, by the time that came around, and then obviously in Civil War, you know, he's in that movie heavily too.
Right.
I mean, his character was well established.
Right.
But these movies aren't so good right now.
Yeah.
And they're desperate. Like, I saw where Harry Styles got fired from the stuff he's doing in Marvel.
Yeah, because he was going to be, what was the character? He was going to play Thanos' brother.
And also the Eternals was supposed to have a movie done about them again, another movie.
They didn't need it. I wasn't expecting it.
And I'll tell you the other one that has been, they've been trying to figure out a spot for it, is the Captain Marvel movie that's coming out.
Yeah, it's been pushed back.
Yeah, it keeps getting pushed all around because basically it doesn't pan out well. And I love Brie Larson. I thought she was great as Captain Marvel, but they got all these kids in it, and they're called the Marvels.
The Marvels, yeah.
Yeah, the Marvels or whatever they are.
Yeah.
But you know, again, Marvel's lost its fastball. Like it's lost its fastball now because it's just too much inventory out there, and that's the way some of these DC properties are. Like Aquaman and Flash.
Yeah.
Like that Flash.
Well, they did a terrible story of build-up. Marvel hit the home run because they took their time with the build-up of the characters. And they picked the right characters to do it with.
Well, I'm not even sure, though, when they first started. Like Jon Favreau directed the first Iron Man movie.
Right. Well, and I'm saying from those movies.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I don't know that they knew what it was going to be. Like, I don't think that they thought that Captain America or Iron Man would become as popular as they became.
No, but I mean, but they didn't rush everything, is what I'm saying, the way DC did. DC just like,
yeah.
And they didn't take their time with any stories in the DC things. They just throw these movies together. Whereas Marvel, they at least took their time with the stuff. And I think that's what helped, you know.
But once you got past Endgame, the inventory became thin.
Well, yeah, because now you start to build into stuff. Like, all those characters were characters that the casual fans, like, sure, yes. Like, you know, the casual fans are intrigued by those characters. Now you're into characters that the casual fans are like, who is that?
Right.
You know, and, so there's no interest.
And again, you could reboot Blade in some of these things, and we'll see how it does. But, again, I agree with you. Like, but I wasn't even a big Iron Man fan, but some of those performances were so good that you're sucked into the movies and stuff like that. So, All right, it is Jimmy Dean's birthday today. We were going to do this a while back. So it's Jimmy Dean's birthday. The singer, sausage maker, Big John was a number one hit for Jimmy Dean. But with that, tonight's top 10 list, your top 10 favorite places to go get breakfast. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right, so my regular places, my kind of, you know, everybody knows these places. I'll get those two out the way. Waffle House and IHOP. I can never go wrong with those.
I've got those on my list.
If I can find the right, some good ones. R. Thomas, right up the street on Peachtree.
Oh, yeah. I've only been there once, and that was years ago.
Oh, there. I love R. Thomas' breakfast.
Yeah, I was... Well, I can't
leaving a club.
Well, leaving a situation. Adult club, and you know, the person was anyway. I won't get into that story. But that was when. But I went there for breakfast, and anyway.
Thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Breakfast at Barney's. They're relatively new. I don't know if you've had them yet.
No, I've not heard of them.
They're over here off, what is that, Decatur Street,
I want to try all these breakfast spots. Because I'm very, I'm very kind of go where I go, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to experiment on some of these places.
Yeah. The Flying Biscuit. I do like the Flying Biscuit.
Yeah, there's one by me. There's one over off of Mansell Road by me. That's, right there at Alpharetta Highway and Mansell Road.
Okay. I don't know if they're... Because this one over here on 14th Street is closed. I don't know if that means all of them are closed. I haven't been in a while. But Highland Bakery, they've got some great...
I've heard of it. I've not been there, though.
Yeah, there used to be... The one I used to... Because there used to be one right here on 14th Street. So I used to eat that one all the time. Murphy's in the Highlands. Have you ever had that?
I have not.
They're great, too. West Egg, right over at Howell Mill, right on Howell Mill, right at Howell Mill and 14th.
Okay.
And then you can never go wrong with the Silver Skillet.
Yeah, I've only eaten at the Silver Skillet once, and I need to go back because it's been a few years.
It gives you that diner vibe.
Yeah, I know, and I love that.
Yeah.
I love that about it. I mean, again, so the Silver Skillet's on my list. Waffle House, IHOP, and again, I'm very plain Jane.
Right.
I do like Jake Christopher's.
Yes.
I will say that I like...
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I mean, I like Jake Christopher's, especially their blueberry crunch cakes that they have, and some of their skillets as well. I know they're a big sponsor for Chappie, the Chuck House. Yeah, the Chuck House. I do love Shoney's Breakfast Buffet.
Are they still around?
I don't know. I'm sure that they are somewhere.
I haven't had Shoney's in a long time. The last time
I went to one was a few years ago. When we would drive down to Florida, I would go in South Georgia and hit the Shoney's buffet with my daughter and I.
Right.
So we would leave at 3:30 in the morning from Atlanta.
So that you could get there at a good time.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, we try to hit the road early and get away from traffic.
Right.
And then by the time 8, 9 o'clock rolls around, we're at Shoney's.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm telling you, the best breakfast, Bob Evans. I love Bob Evans.
You know, I've never
had
Bob Evans.
They're not here in Georgia. You can go to the Carolinas, you can go to Florida, but I love Bob Evans.
Okay.
Their sausage gravy and biscuits are just outstanding. They used to have mush. They don't have mush anymore, which I went to Bob Evans. When we went to Carowinds, we went to Bob Evans because specifically I went there for Bob Evans. They didn't have mush. I needed my mush. Cracker Barrel, you can't go wrong. I mean, their breakfast, I think their country boy breakfast is outstanding with the steak medallions and all that good stuff. Do they still have Le Peeps around here?
I don't know.
Le Peep was always a good
breakfast. I never went.
Le Peep was really good. Okay. I don't know. They used to have a few of those. I know they had one at Shamley Dunwoody and Mount Vernon in like the Dunwoody Plaza, and they had a couple of other ones around. I don't know if they're still open.
Yeah, I've always seen them, but I never ate there.
Egg Harbor Cafe. That's also another good breakfast.
Yeah, that's a good spot. Yeah.
And then the other one I think is kind of underrated, even though it's kind of a chain, but I think it's kind of underrated. You ever had Maple Street Biscuits?
Are they here?
Oh, yeah. There's one in downtown Alpharetta. There's one in Woodstock. Well, yeah, Woodstock off of Town Lake Parkway.
Because I feel like I had it in another state.
They're in Savannah. I've been
or
to the one in Savannah.
Else.
I've been
yeah.
to the one in Woodstock. I've been to the one that's in downtown Alpharetta.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they're here.
Okay, because I definitely have had it, but I just didn't realize. Maybe it
really
was here
good.
In Georgia.
Really
yeah,
good
it,
stuff.
It was.
Really
yeah,
good
it
stuff.
Was.
And I did go to R. Thomas, and I had somebody that, anyway. All right. Anyway, when we come back, we'll give you my thoughts again about who I'm looking forward to seeing coming up tomorrow night. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Now to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Back to more John Chuckery.
No, I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back at a Chuckery show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along as we head to the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief coming up next. Been a fast show tonight.
Starting to feel like that every night.
yeah. Fast shows. Let's get the energy up and stuff. So, Falcons football coming up tomorrow night. I'll be back with you on Sunday. But, you know, as I look at this game, I certainly have some guys that I'm going to be watching for. Look, a couple of things that I'm looking for. Number one is I just want to see some of our defensive line be better. You know, we saw that in the practices against Miami. I want to see some of that. I don't care what the name is on the back of the jersey, but I want to see some things about Ryan Nielsen that just show me that we're more aggressive. I'm not expecting schemes and different things like that, but I want to see some more aggression out of our defense. Obviously, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. If Desmond Ridder's going to play at all, I want to see him throw the football. I know he could turn and hand off, but I want to see him throw the football. And again, I don't care to who. I just want to see him either take some shots downfield, have a little bit of fun with it, and just see what he can do. I would now, again, this may not be the time to just go out there and uncork him, but I would love to see a couple of big shots go down the field if he's going to play. He may not even play. We talked to D-Led earlier. He may not even play when all is said and done. I definitely want to see Zach Harrison. I definitely want to see what he can do. Can he win some one-on-ones? And where they line him up will be the other thing about this too. Maybe that more traditional defensive edge in that 3-4, probably not going to be an outside linebacker. Do they play him, you know, a little bit more inside? Whatever it's going to be, I want to see kind of where they're going to look at lining him up when all is said and done. I definitely want to see the punt returners, because without Avery Williams, that really is a question mark. And that's really one of the last things that has to be solved for this team. And obviously, Matthew Bergeron is a guy that I'm going to be looking at, because I don't know if he can win the starting job. They might want him to, but I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can do enough to convince the coaches he should be their starter. And especially when you're looking at Drew Dahlman, who's still an inexperienced center. Say what you will about Matt Hennessy, but at least he's got some more time in. So those are some of the things that I'm going to be looking for. I know it's going to be vanilla. It's going to be bland. The practices are more important than the game, you know, and we'll get more into the game next Friday when we're back at home against the Bungles, you know, and we'll see what happens there. Day-Day, anything in particular that you're looking for?
The secondary, just the backup secondary. But again, you know, Clark Phillips was somebody I was looking forward to seeing. Other than that, just the defense overall, I'll say that, just to your point, just kind of how they kind of get after. And I know, again, we may not be seeing too many starters. And then, you know, to D-Led's point, you know, we're probably not going to get much of an ideal of what the defense really, what Ryan Nielsen's defense is really going to be looking like. So, honestly, I don't have a lot of expectations because we know it's, to your point, you know, it's going to be a lot of guys battling for roster spots mm-hmm. more than anything. So maybe just to see overall how those guys defensively particularly and maybe, you know, some of the linemen on offense, but just see how they do as far as, you know, who's the standout guy that says, okay, that makes us say that's the guy we got to make sure the Falcons keep.
I'm looking here because we got a text that said that a lot of the Shoney's are closed, and I'm looking at the one that is in Canton because that's a Shoney's I've been to before.
Okay.
Right there, if you went 75 north and got off at Georgia 20,
mm-hmm.
If you go right, you're headed back to Canton.
Right.
If you go left, you're headed to Rome.
Right.
That was a Shoney's there, but I think that was closed. I know the one that was at Highway 92 and 70 and 75 mm-hmm. is closed because that's the one Scott Steiner owned.
Oh wow, I didn't know he owned one.
He
okay.
owned, yeah, him and his brother both they owned a Shoney's right there, and they kind of did it, but that was one that's closed. So it looks like most of the Shoney's are
gone. Because yeah, I was gonna say because I know a lot of the ones that I used to go to are definitely all closed. Like in college, we used to go to the one on Fulton Industrial,
right there at I-20. There used to be one on Jimmy Carter Boulevard.
Yeah, that one. Where else was one that we used to go to? But pretty much all the ones I knew of were closed. So, but I think they're still open in Florida.
So what else did
they're
you
still
on Fulton Industrial Boulevard.
This was in Fulton Industrial Boulevard's good days.
Were there good days at Fulton Industrial Boulevard?
Yeah, this is when, well, UPS, they're still there, but they have a newer location now, but yes. On the other end, but when they're yes. old, the other location, you know, that's where a lot of us in college got jobs and, you know, other
what
than that.
What else did you do on Fulton Industrial
Boulevard?
That
was Boulevard. It, man, Shoney's and UPS.
What else, you sure you didn't do some positive. Other things on Fulton Industrial Boulevard?
I don't
think
you could do that stuff back then.
Oh, yeah, you can.
In 92?
I moved here in 93, 90? And you could.
Really? Well,
absolutely.
We just didn't pay attention.
Yeah. Remember, they had a lot of those spots on Fulton Industrial Boulevard. There was a lot.
I guess we just weren't paying attention because for us, a lot of the adult spots back then, for us, they were like downtown. So, you know, Nicky's, that was the main one, Nicky's.
Well, yeah, but Fulton Industrial Boulevard had three or four different places on there.
Yeah, we didn't.
Not too far from I-20.
Okay, yeah. Honestly, in all honesty, we didn't know it. We didn't know. We went to Fulton Industrial for Shoney's because it was right there, and there was a Sizzler over there, too. There mm-hmm. used to be a Sizzler.
Right.
But Shoney's, I think we went to the Sizzler a couple of times. And then going, you know, when we got, I think it was our sophomore year, we got jobs at the UPS because they had a lot. They used to hire a lot of people from Morris Brown.
I went to Fulton Industrial to a club one time, and it was coming back from Alabama. And we were coming back from Alabama for something. I don't know what it was. And we stopped in, my buddy and I stopped in and had a drink, and we pretty much left after that. Like, it was just like, okay. Because, again, I got spoiled by, like, places like the Pink Pony and stuff like that. I mean, so I was a little bit spoiled on all that kind of stuff. So, anyway. But yeah, there was several of those places. I mean, like, they catered to truckers and different things like that.
Okay.
You know, but,
okay. Yeah, we were young. We weren't paying attention to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I certainly was. I mean, in 1993, I was only 22. 21, 22.
Yeah, you're a couple years over. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, our spots were more down here, downtown. You know, Nikki's, which was on, back then it was called Stewart Avenue. Now it's called Metropolitan. Yeah. But yeah. Nikki's. And then they eventually opened a Little Nikki's, which was right over here on Marietta Street.
I remember Little Nikki's.
Yeah, then there was Nikki's, too. I'm trying to remember. Where was Nikki's, too? Nikki's, too. It might have still, I think Nikki's, too, was on Metropolitan as well, but it was further coming back more towards downtown, if I remember. But those were our spots back then. $5 table dances, baby.
Yeah, I mean, Oasis, Pink Pony. Although we did go at times on Buford Highway. Roosters.
Roosters was still around for quite a while.
What was the other one on Buford Highway?
Follies?
Follies, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
There was always a difference if you, a lot of those places, if you went during the day.
Yep.
Or if you went to night shift.
Yep.
Definitely differences and stuff like
that. Yeah.
But our because we worked on Winter, my buddy and I worked off of Winter's Chapel Road.
Okay.
Which is basically one exit up from Tilly Mill Road.
Right, exactly.
So we were always at the Pink Pony, or not, I shouldn't say Pink Pony, Oasis.
Oasis.
We would send text to each other, and it said 6969, because I think that was their address. I think their address was like 6969 Tilly Mill Road or something like that, or Peachtree Industrial or whatever.
Hilarious. So,
anyway. All right. Wrapping things up with the Love TKO up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Not to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Back to more John Chuckery.
No, I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back at a Chuckery show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along as we head to the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief coming up next. Been a fast show tonight.
Starting to feel like that every night.
yeah. Fast shows. Let's get the energy up and stuff. So, Falcons football coming up tomorrow night. I'll be back with you on Sunday. But, you know, as I look at this game, I certainly have some guys that I'm going to be watching for. Look, a couple of things that I'm looking for. Number one is I just want to see some of our defensive line be better. You know, we saw that in the practices against Miami. I want to see some of that. I don't care what the name is on the back of the jersey, but I want to see some things about Ryan Nielsen that just show me that we're more aggressive. I'm not expecting schemes and different things like that, but I want to see some more aggression out of our defense. Obviously, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. If Desmond Ridder's going to play at all, I want to see him throw the football. I know he could turn and hand off, but I want to see him throw the football. And again, I don't care to who. I just want to see him either take some shots downfield, have a little bit of fun with it, and just see what he can do. I would. Now, again, this may not be the time to just go out there and uncork him, but I would love to see a couple of big shots go down the field if he's going to play. He may not even play. We talked to D-Led earlier. He may not even play when all is said and done. I definitely want to see Zach Harrison. I definitely want to see what he can do. Can he win some one-on-ones? And where they line him up will be the other thing about this too. Maybe that more traditional defensive edge in that 3-4, probably not going to be an outside linebacker. Do they play him, you know, a little bit more inside? Whatever it's going to be, I want to see kind of where they're going to look at lining him up when all is said and done. I definitely want to see the punt returners, because without Avery Williams, that really is a question mark. And that's really one of the last things that has to be solved for this team. And obviously, Matthew Bergeron is a guy that I'm going to be looking at, because I don't know if he can win the starting job. They might want him to, but I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can do enough to convince the coaches he should be their starter. And especially when you're looking at Drew Dolman, who's still an inexperienced center. Say what you will about Matt Hennessy, but at least he's got some more time in. So those are some of the things that I'm going to be looking for. I know it's going to be vanilla. It's going to be bland. The practices are more important than the game, you know, and we'll get more into the game next Friday when we're back at home against the Bungles, you know, and we'll see what happens there. Day-Day, anything in particular that you're looking for?
The secondary, just the backup secondary. But again, you know, Clark Phillips was somebody I was looking forward to seeing. Other than that, just the defense overall, I'll say that, just to your point, just kind of how they kind of get after. And I know, again, we may not be seeing too many starters. And then, you know, to D-Led's point, you know, we're probably not going to get much of an ideal of what the defense really, what Ryan Nielsen's defense is really going to be looking like. So, honestly, I don't have a lot of expectations because we know it's, to your point, you know, it's going to be a lot of guys battling for roster spots mm-hmm. more than anything. So maybe just to see overall how those guys defensively particularly and maybe, you know, some of the alignment on offense. But just see how they do as far as, you know, who's the standout guy that says, OK, that makes us say that's the guy we got to make sure the Falcons keep.
I'm looking here because we got a text that said that a lot of the Shoney's are closed, and I'm looking at the one that is in Canton because that's a Shoney's I've been to before.
Okay.
Right there, if you went 75 north and got off at Georgia 20,
mm-hmm.
If you go right, you're headed back to Canton.
Right.
If you go left, you're headed to Rome.
Right.
That was a Shoney's there, but I think that was closed. I know the one that was at Highway 92 and 70 and 75 mm-hmm. is closed because that's the one Scott Steiner owned.
Oh, wow. I didn't know he owned one.
He
okay.
owned, yeah, him and his brother both, they owned a Shoney's right there, and they re-kind of did it, but that was one that's closed. So it looks like most of the Shoney's are
gone. Because, yeah, I was going to say, because I know a lot of the ones that I used to go to are definitely all closed. Like in college, we used to go to the one on Fulton Industrial.
Yeah, right there, I think at I-20. There used to be one on Jimmy Carter Boulevard.
Yeah, that one. Where else was one that we used to go to? But pretty much all the ones I knew of were closed. So, but I think they're still open in Florida.
So what else did
they're
you
still
on Fulton Industrial Boulevard?
This was in Fulton Industrial Boulevard's good days.
Were there good days at Fulton Industrial Boulevard?
Yeah, this is when, well, UPS, they're still there, but on they have a newer location now, but yes. On the other end, but when they're old, the other location, you know, that's where a lot of us in college got jobs and, you know, other
what
than that.
What else did you do on Fulton Industrial
Boulevard?
That was
Boulevard. It, man, Shoney's and UPS.
You sure you didn't do some positive. Other things on Fulton Industrial Boulevard?
I don't
think
you could do that stuff back then.
Oh, yeah, you can.
In 92?
I moved here in 93, and you could.
Really? Well,
absolutely.
Didn't pay attention.
Yeah. Remember, they had a lot of those spots on Fulton Industrial Boulevard. There was a lot.
I guess we just weren't paying attention, because for us, a lot of the adult spots back then, for us, they were like downtown. So, you know, Nicky's, that was the main one, Nicky's.
Well, yeah, but Fulton Industrial Boulevard had three or four different places on there.
Yeah, we didn't.
Not too far from I-20.
Okay, yeah, honestly, in all honesty, we didn't know it. We didn't know. We went to Fulton Industrial for Shoney's because it was right there, and there was a Sizzler over there, too. There mm-hmm. used to be a Sizzler.
Right.
But Shoney's, I think we went to the Sizzler a couple of times. And then going, you know, when we got, I think it was our sophomore year, we got jobs at the UPS because they had a lot. They used to hire a lot of people from Morris Brown.
I went to Fulton Industrial to a club one time, and it was coming back from Alabama. And we were coming back from Alabama for something. I don't know what it was. And we stopped in. My buddy and I stopped in and had a drink, and we pretty much left after that. Like, it was just like, okay. Because, again, I got spoiled by, like, places like the Pink Pony and stuff like that. I mean, so I was a little bit spoiled on all that kind of stuff. So, anyway. But, yeah, there was several of those places. I mean, like, they cater to truckers and different things like that.
Okay.
You know, but
yeah, we were young. We weren't paying attention to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I certainly was. I mean, in 1993, I was only 22.
Yeah.
21, 22.
Yeah, you're a couple years over. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, our spots were more down here, downtown. You know, Nicky's, which was on, back then it was called Stewart Avenue. Now it's called Metropolitan.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Nicky's. And then they eventually opened a Little Nicky's, which was right over here on Marietta Street.
I remember Little Nicky's.
Yeah, then there was Nicky's, too. I'm trying to remember. Where was Nicky's, too? I think Nicky's, too, was on Metropolitan as well, but it was further coming back more towards downtown, if I remember. But those were our spots back then. $5 table dances, baby.
Yeah, I mean, Oasis, Pink Pony. Although we did go at times on Buford Highway. Roosters.
Roosters was still around for quite a while.
What was the other one on Buford Highway?
Follies,
yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
There was always a difference. A lot of those places, if you went during the day...
Yep.
Or if you went to night shift.
Yep.
Definitely differences and stuff like
that. Yeah.
But our because we worked on my buddy and I worked off of Winter's Chapel Road.
Okay.
Which is basically one exit up from Tilley Mill
Road.
Right,
exactly.
So we were always at the Pink Pony. Or not I shouldn't say Pink Pony, Oasis.
Oasis.
We would send text to each other and it said 6969 because I think that was their address. I think their address was like 6969 Tilley Mill Road or something like that, or Peachtree Industrial or whatever.
Hilarious. So,
anyway. All right. Wrapping things up with the Love TKO up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, Not to the Game, Odyssey.com app.